Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for October the 18th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Our goal to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. We use the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We were not live Saturday. We were live Friday. A quick recap. We had on Chris Carlson, and we talked about the allegory of the dime and the nickel, written by Chris Carlson himself. Great allegory, highlighting how we're being fleeced in America, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, the guy says the day I start taking dimes is the day free money stops. Anyway, you got to listen to it. It's incredible. We also talked about two fakes and a fleece, a lesson on how to stop fraud. We talked about Harriet Hagman. Yeah, Trump's backing her, but she's against Donald big time. It's amazing. The swamp continues. Another establishment hack, Evan McMullen. He's going to be going against Mike Lee. Evan is not a conservative in any way, shape, or form. Beware of that reality check. We also talked about Francis Hogan, Facebook's fake whistleblower. We talked about how the deep state turned social media into spyware after being hired by AT&T, an interesting little company you ought to research. The company, Leader Technologies. Check it out. It's scary as all get out. Listen to Friday's broadcast, first hour. Second hour, we talked to our guest, Tina Horlocker, about the WeCanAct.net conference. We also talked to guest, Alina Erickson, freedom fighter and defender of truth. Great, great 2 hours on your radio. Still available at LibertyRoundtable.com and LovingLiberty.net. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, with us. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you for having me, Sam. Good to be with you.
All right, sad to mention it. We got to talk about two sexual assaults. The first one, Loudoun County School Board meeting, erupts after sex assault bombshell. This is shocking stuff, but we could have predicted it too, Lowell.
Yeah, we could have, because that particular school district allows male students to use female facilities, such as restrooms and locker rooms. You know, if a boy, little boy wants to decide that he's going to be a girl, he wears a skirt to school, then he's allowed to use the female restrooms and locker room facilities. You know, what could go wrong? What possibly could go wrong with that? Well, one of the Stonebridge High School students was a young woman, last name Smith, who was cornered in a restroom by this boy and forced to do sexual favors for this boy. Basically sexually assaulted Scott Smith's ninth grade daughter. Now, Scott Smith, he attended a board meeting to tell the school board, the damage their policy did. And he got arrested at that school board meeting because he was speaking up for his daughter. And he was dragged out, and media covered it, and he was labeled a domestic terrorist. And that's what part of the reason, I guess, why the National Education Association wrote to the Biden administration and pled with him to stop domestic terrorists like this. So the Biden administration talked to the FBI, and they're investigating parents who oppose these radical policies. That was the genesis, really, of that national policy. Well, Sam, the real answer, as you know, is to get our children out of the public schools, to starve the beast, just like we said last week, starve the beast. And this is just one more example of why parents should pull their children out of public school and provide their instruction at home. You know, one of the commenters on this piece of Breitbart News summarized the situation very well. He said this. He says, this hypersexualized young boy, given the okay by his parents, comes to school in a skirt so that he can use the girls' bathroom. Once there, he forces a young girl, which is Smith's daughter, to have sex with him. Smith complains. The kid is quietly transferred to another school, bundles yet another girl there. And not only is this kid sick, but so are his parents and the school board. The school board tried to cover that up. And when Smith goes ballistic at a school board meeting, they deny the crime, have him arrested, and then they write the letter to Biden to call the FBI to protect them from domestic terrorists. So, Sam, it just feels like an episode from the Twilight Zone. I don't know how else to explain it, Sam.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. If that's not enough for you, in the Loudoun County School Board, the issue is bad enough that we let, you know, males and females together and boys can be girls and then go in and really assault a woman, a girl. That's bad enough. But you know what? Then the government school board literally covered it up, ladies and gentlemen, after sex assault bombshell. They don't want their agenda to be exposed for what it really is. And so to me, the insult to injury is the cover up. You know, it reminds me of the Nixon scenario a little bit, where it's like, hey, it's one thing to do that, but then to lie and cover it up is what took the president down back in the day. Well, we ought to take the school board down over this. What on earth are they doing covering it up? What are they thinking? But it gets worse. And let me tell you the public display that's going on to illustrate your point right now. There's another headline that just got released. Burlington High School in Vermont literally put on a drag show at halftime. At a sporting event, crowd cheers, students and faculty parading in support of LGBTQ, whatever Q, people. Okay? So you literally now have the government school at halftime, in the open, students and faculty promoting the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender agenda at Burlington High School in Vermont. And it's out in the open now. Lol, that's what they're doing. That's what they're trained to do, and that's what they will continue to do. Now, for the last 25 years, I've been telling you the government schools are the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. They're godless, they're perverted, and everybody used to say, well, not in my school. Well, you don't think so, huh? Natalie Klein breaks it all down for you and puts the reality check to the point I've been making for longer than 25 years, lol.
She sure does, Sam. She was our speaker at the Highland Meeting October 1st, and she spent the evening outlining the social-emotional learning, which is SEL. We'll be saying that a lot, SEL, social-emotional learning, and critical race theory, CRT, that is woven into the fabric of our curriculum here and around the country. SEL is driven by CASEL, which is the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, C-A-S-E-L, CASEL. CASEL identifies five competencies of SEL. They are self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship skills, and responsible decision-making. Now, that all sounds well and good. It really sounds nice, but the devil is truly in the details. You know, CASEL was founded, CASEL was founded in 1994, and over the years has become the leading nonprofit behind the psychology of learning. CASEL leaders worked with the Obama administration in 2008 to 2016 to fundamentally transform the entire U.S. education system around behavioral science. In 2016, the Obama administration passed the Every Student Succeeds Act, which replaced the U.S. vision for academic learning with a Marxist view for social justice activism. So all this black liberation theology and the LGBTQ rights and stuff, all of this is at the core of this vision, you know, CRT and CSE, gender ideology. And so now if you dig into the details of this, CASEL's reforms are systemic by design. So it's not a single classroom course that can be stopped easily. CASEL's reforms pervades all lessons, all activities, all settings, you know, the classroom and the school and the home and in the community. So this will be showing up in our communities too, folks, not just our schools. SEL is not just for students. It's for teachers, parents. It's for the entire community. It's part of teacher training. It includes parent and family engagement plans. It is comprehensive. And just for an example, Natalie gave us this example at Delta High School, and I'm assuming this is Delta, Utah, Sam, where you used to live. Delta High School required its students to download the Hero app without parental knowledge or consent. That app is an SEL data collecting student behavior management tracking app that also encourages civic engagement with leftist leaning organizations in order to earn social credit points. It's basically the China, what they're doing in China, the social credit scoring. So SEL standards are global competencies. Academic testing policies are now equity-based behavioral assessment policies. School grading now measures schools for compliance with SEL, right? So if you don't score high, if your school doesn't score high on SEL, you get less funding. So there's monetary incentive to transform your school into an SEL school. Now, again, what is SEL? Well, it is social emotional learning. It's a teaching pedagogy that prepares students' minds to accept racial and social justice, comprehensive sexuality education. That's what CSE stands for, comprehensive sexuality education, and gender ideology. Now, the social emotional learning is not what you and I think it is. We think social is to be friendly. But to Castle, social is collective thought. You and I think emotional is how you feel about something, but to Castle, emotional is radical activism and moral relativism.
SEL is the term you need to remember, ladies and gentlemen. It's in your government schools. Lowell Nelson continues in mere seconds on your radio.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things, and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Natalie Klein exposes radical agenda, not only in Utah schools, but around the country, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with me. Some parents might think these competencies are not in their schools, ladies and gentlemen, but I assure you, they are. Natalie explains, our research, meaning myself and Lowell Nelson, our research, we agree. C-A-S-E-L is what you got to remember. They control the United States and Utah's education system literally from top to bottom, ladies and gentlemen. It is out of control, Lowell, and all I can say is this, you're going to see more and more of it. But here's what's interesting. At first glance, it's subtle, and you actually applaud it. You go, you know what? This is all right. And believe it or not, we've found people teaching it and parroting it without even knowing it, Lowell.
Yeah, good people are unknowingly supporting Castle's objectives. In May, for example, May of this year, Abby Cox, who's the wife of our current Utah governor, she was on FM 100 with the chair of Castle, Tim Shriver, discussing their shared objectives for social emotional learning in schools. You know, how COVID is affecting our children, how we can have, you know, how we can take this opportunity to unite around a new vision for education in America. I mean, all of that's fluff and it sounds wonderful, but you get down to the details and it's shocking. I mean, it's so shocking. And Sam, if this were the only thing we were to discuss on today's show, I would be perfectly happy because I think it is so important for parents in Utah and outside of Utah, because this is everywhere. This is endemic to your education establishment in your state, in your school board, wherever you live. This SEL is there, and it's woven into the fabric of the curriculum. Every single course that is taught has this woven into the fabric, and so knowing that, knowing what's coming to your public school, knowing what's there in your public school today and last year, in fact, and before that, is so important because we need to get our children out of public school. I mean, that's the only, it's systemic, right? This basic pornography is systemic in the public school system. Let me just hit these five competencies again, Sam. The things that sound so good, like self-awareness, that's the first competency. Promoted by SEL, self-awareness. But what it really means is racial, class, gendered identity, sexual orientation, and so forth, right? So you got to know who you are. And so to find out who you are, well, they ask you.
And let me stop you there. Used to, in our society, everybody used to use God and your relationship with God. You are a son or daughter of your heavenly Father. That used to be the fundamental teaching. Okay, now that's replaced with this self-awareness that's secular-based, that's godless, that's communist, that's socialist, that's transgender, that's anything but you're a child of God.
Exactly, Sam. And the second competency, and by the way, these competencies are global competencies. This is being taught around the planet, Sam, not just in the United States, but around the planet. This self-awareness is now the first global competency that is being taught in schools around the planet, and that people are being tested on, that schools are being measured on. This is insidious, though. Okay, so self-management is the second thing, the second competence, self-management. Well, what it really means is it's being part of the collective. It's not what you believe is right, but what the collective believes is right. For example, not using someone's preferred pronoun could be considered sexual harassment, right? I mean, so the third competency, social awareness, means belonging to the Borg, for example, developing a collective mindset, consuming LGBTQ books, literature, and movies. You know, and this drag halftime show at Burlington High School, that's part of this social awareness movement, this third competency. Relationship skills, the fourth competency, means collaboration or working well with others, doing what you're told, raising your social credit score, reading books such as How to Stand Up to the Adults in Your Life and Parents Are Roadblocks to Learning, right? Reading that type of material to distance you, the students, away from their parents. That's all intended, as relationship skills. If you want a high score here, then you got to be able to stand up to your mom and dad and think that they don't know nothing, right? I mean, that's part of that. And then the fifth competency here is what they call responsible decision making. Well, yeah, that sounds wonderful, but it really means distributive justice for social problems and the well-being of the collective. Here is where they talk about the website loveisrespect.org. And I browsed that website last night, Sam, and it is horrific. It teaches students how to reduce sexual risk instead of teaching abstinence or avoidance. And basically, it's comprehensive sexuality education all on one website. And they teach, the very first thing you see when you go to the website is how to erase your website history so your parents don't know you've been there. It's just insidious, Sam. I can't say loudly enough that parents need to know these competencies are in their public schools. I assure you they are there. Natalie Klein is a member of our state school board. She's the one that brought this presentation to the Highland meeting and told us about it. And really, Sam, I did not know our education system was in such shambles, has sunken so low. We just need
And I don't mean to be rude, but I've been telling everybody for 25 plus years, listen to me, it's not in your supreme law of the land, the Constitution. It's not in your Bill of Rights. It's not in your Declaration of Independence. It's not in your Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers. Okay, it's not in anything American, but it is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. That's compulsory, government-driven, government-funded, government-ran, government-controlled education by force. Okay, and if you don't think it's going to come to this, I don't mean to be offensive, but you're flat-out ignorant. You cannot have communist principles, one of the 10 planks to make a nation completely communist, and expect it to go well. If you think that, you have been absolutely deceived. And now you're just seeing the fruits of the abuses. That's all. Anyway, good for Natalie to bring this up. Good for Lowell to highlight this, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't think it's in your school, you just learn about this cell. You got to look out for it. It's in your schools. And if you think the governors and some of these other plans to circumvent the federal government are the answer, they're just as mixed with it as anything else. Doesn't matter if the state or the federal government controls government education. It's still the 10th plank of the communist. Did you hear me? The Communist Manifesto. All right, so there you have it. It is in your schools, ladies and gentlemen. Beware. Moving right along, COVID relief funds distributed to cities and states require compliance with vax mandates. Here comes the strings, Lowell.
The strings are attached. Let's go right to that part of the American Rescue Plan of 2021 administered by the U.S. Treasury. It says that the recipient of these funds, I'm talking about these billions and billions of dollars that are being allocated to the various states, which then allocate them to counties and cities and so forth, the recipient of these funds agrees to comply with all other applicable federal statutes, regulations, and executive orders. Emphasis on executive orders. So when the President of the United States issues the executive order that federal contractors have to get the jab, have to take the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, because they work for the feds and they have contracts with the feds, they have to do it if they accept these funds. And these funds are going all over the country. And in fact, even more alarming is the fact that these federal COVID relief funds can be used by local cities and counties to replace private sector businesses that don't comply with the vaccine mandate. So, for example, a local city or a county in the United States, they might decide to use the federal funds to launch a local, ambulance service that puts a private ambulance provider out of business, or a local medical ER service, or a local ISP telecommunications service. So if you're a local service and you don't get the vax, then these funds can be used to put you out of business. So the Federal Reserve, they continue to print an unlimited quantity of this fake fiat money. They're just going to dish it out to counties and cities and states, and they're going to basically, it's a communist style takeover of America's local economy, Sam.
So they're doing it with money via the fake Federal Reserve, and it will never stop until the dollar fails. They're doing it with your government schools. They're doing it with your money. It just goes on and on, Lowell.
Yeah, it's a basic, it's kind of a universal basic income for local government municipalities, all this bailout money, and it's killing small-town America, Sam.
Well, while they're destroying the economy in America, ladies and gentlemen, empty Christmas stockings for you. Yeah, don't blame COVID. That's what they want you to blame. Blame California. Quick details in seconds, then our incredible guests coming up right here on Liberty Roundtable Live, packed with news the networks refuse to use.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride. Colin Powell was an American politician, diplomat, and retired four-star general who served as the 65th Secretary of State from 2001 to 2005, has died from COVID-19 complications. His family reported the passing on Facebook Monday. He was 84. General Powell speaking at the National Association of Counties 1 year ago.
Yeah, I was born in Harlem and raised in Harlem and the South Bronx section of New York, one of the worst sections of New York. But I was blessed with two immigrant parents who were just wonderful. And they made it clear that even though I was not the brightest kid in the family, it was expected that I would do my very best and get an education. And in the family, they didn't care so much if you studied to be a doctor or a lawyer, as long as you were getting an education. And what they kept pushing at us is that we came to this country to do better.
USA Radio News.
If you're tired of big cable bills and want to cut the cord, you can still get Newsmax TV for free. Millions of Americans like you are watching Newsmax. It's available on all major cable systems, or get it free on major streaming platforms. Watch Newsmax on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and more. Find Newsmax on your hub guide or use the TV app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, TiVo, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. More than 7 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphones. There's no paywall or subscription, so watch Newsmax anytime, anywhere. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. And watch great shows with Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Rob Schmidt, Diamond and Silk, Stinchfield, and a lot more. Find out why America is tuning in to Newsmax TV, the fastest-growing cable news channel. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
President Clinton was released from a California hospital on Sunday after receiving antibiotics for a urological infection. 75-year-old Clinton was admitted to the University of California at Irvine Medical Center last Tuesday after feeling weak from an infection. Let's get a booster shot update with Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau.
This past week, an FDA advisory panel approved booster shots for many who received the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccines. Dr. Anthony Fauci spoke about the need for boosters based on information being gathered both here in the United States and also in Israel while appearing on Fox News Sunday.
It's very, very clear that there's waning immunity and that we do need to boost individuals who've received any of the three products that we've been dealing with right now.
The FDA advisory panel's recommendation will now go to the full organization prior to the issue being taken up by the CDC.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson with me. Quick final topic before we bring on our guest. Empty Christmas stockings. Don't blame COVID, blame California. Quickly, this one must get out, though, ladies and gentlemen. All the port problems, all the containers in wrong places, all the supply chain fiascos, they want to blame it on COVID and act like, oh, golly, because people couldn't work for a couple of weeks or a day or, 2 years now. I'm sorry, it was a 14-day, well, I guess it's 2 years now that, hey, everything's just messed up. And there's some truth to that, but that isn't the core reason at all. It all starts in California, Lowell.
It really does. The shipping containers are just sitting there, not enough people to unload them. But and the implication is that if people would stop being selfish and take the vaccines, well, the whole problem would magically vanish. But that's pure nonsense. The problem is that California passed a couple laws that destroyed much of California's trucking industry. The truckers are aging out of the job. New ones aren't coming along. The federal law, which is unconstitutional, requires truckers to be at least 21. And kids who leave school at 17, 18, they get involved in other careers, and so that leads trucker shortfalls. That's a long-term problem. The short-term problem is that California's law takes trucks off the road. They made this agreement with the Air Quality Board of California, and so trucks that are older than the 2011 model or that used engines manufactured before 2010, they're not going to get stamped as being licensed for use in California, right? Because they're not new enough. They're not clean enough. And so there's like a bunch of trucks that can't be used in California anymore. Another short-term problem there is that half the truckers in the country are these privately owned, right? And so the private owner operator trucks can't be used there, and so half of the fleet trucks can't be used there because of this air quality decision. And so they can be used outside of California, but not inside of California. So they've got these clean air trucks basically going from the port to the border of California, the eastern border, and then offloading their materials to other trucks, the older trucks, that they can then go beyond to the rest of the United States. And so that's one big, big problem with the trucking industry right there in California. They've basically shot themselves in the foot, and it's going to affect the rest of the country. And then the second law that California passed was a stop to the union. Basically, traditionally, the ports have been served by owner-operators. Well, they're non-union. But under this law AB-5, California has now banned owner-operators. And without them, very little cargo will get moved from the containers to the trucks for shipping around the country. So that means less in stores and empty Christmas stockings. Sam, that's the story.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, a tragic reality check. They want you to believe everything is the COVID or everything is climate change. They lie and they deceive you. And, man, our next guest has such a long a stack of credentials, it's hard to even fathom. Her name is Lee Dundas, ladies and gentlemen. She's a human rights attorney. She's an abolitionist dedicated to preserving basic freedoms while also combating global injustices like child slavery, the peddling of medical tyranny disguised as, quote, progress. Her career spans three decades. She has represented Fortune 500 companies in high-dollar courtroom battles, etc. That happened all in the early 90s, but now she's changed to humanitarian work. Nearly a decade ago, she's been jumping into this stuff. She's involved in an anti-slavery NGO. I'm telling you, she's their general counsel. She's been involved with frontline doctors. I mean, she's just done so many things that's shocking. Lee, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And now you're going to the WeCanAct.net conference, huh?
I surely am. There's an awesome conference going on this Friday and Saturday in Salt Lake City, October 22nd. I'll be opening it up at in the noon 1 o'clock hour there. We've got General Flynn. We've got Simone Gold. We've got Dr. Rashid Batar. We've got Senator Wendy Rogers. I mean, it's just going to be an all-star lineup. And we're going to be talking about things that people really need to know about today. I work as, you know, your litany of my my crazy credentials just talked about. I work in third world countries. I work in countries that have had communist takeovers since I've been alive. You know, I talk to Cambodians whose families succumbed and or survived the Cambodian genocide, which was, you know, under the direction of Pol Pot in the late 1970s. And like it or lump it, we are in the middle of something very similar right now. And information is power, and people need to know what's going on so they can actually combat it in their little corners of the world. And that's what we're going to be doing Friday, Saturday. So I would encourage your listening audience, if they've not yet bought their ticket, pull over, stop what you're doing, put down the cereal for the kids, and go to WeCanAct.net and get your tickets. They're not that pricey. They're actually very reasonable. You get things like, I think, a free membership to Front Sight, some really cool place where you can learn to shoot stuff. So all the men in the audience should be jumping for joy over that, and all the women who were tomboys like I was. But more importantly, you're gonna get the information you need to keep your kids safe, your family safe, and get this country back to what we were used to growing up, Sam.
Put in the keyword, all caps, Liberty, and you get $50 off every ticket, WeCanAct.net. Now, Lee Dundas, it's hard for me to know with someone with your credentials, you've been through it all, you know, the Fortune 500 corporate battles in the courtrooms there to, you know, children trafficking and slavery and all this kind of stuff, and then the medical tyranny. It's hard to even point out which problem's the worst, huh?
Yeah. Well, I think it's, you know, it should, I think, strike fear not just to your heart and my heart, my friend, but to everybody listening, that all the way up until March of 2020, for the better part of the last decade, I was spending my time pretty evenly divided between being an Orange County soccer mom and living in brothels, child brothels in in Southeast Asia, where we were trying to get help for the, you know, 7-year-olds that were being sold for profit to be raped 10 times a night to pedophiles by the Asian mafias and those big criminal syndicates. And the sad reality is human slavery is a huge problem. It is the fastest growing crime on the planet and the second largest crime on the planet, second only to drugs. And it's going to take over drugs in the next 10 years, they estimate, for the simple reason that there's a hell of a lot, pardon my French, more profit in selling a 7-year-old to a sex buyer than there is in selling cocaine to an addict. So every mafia and every small-time gangbanger down here in SoCal, where I live, Southern California, they've moved into selling children instead of illegal weapons or drugs. But I stopped doing that pretty much on a dime in March of 2020, because what I saw coming to our shores was actually potentially a worse human rights violation than what I was at that point fighting in Southeast Asia.
And that would be?
That would be what I believe to be a second Holocaust. And I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it louder every time the LA Times calls me out as being a Nazi for saying my governor is a Nazi. But the only darn difference between, because you got to realize these totalitarian tyrants don't start their genocidal plans the way they end them. Everybody keeps running around going, you can't analogize this to the Holocaust. I'm sorry, I beg to differ. It is exactly the way Hitler started, and if you don't know that, it's because you actually slept through your American history class. Hitler didn't start by baking people in ovens. That's where he ended. Where he started was by changing 400 laws over a 6-year span so that he could more easily do what he actually wanted to do, which was hunting his Jewish brethren, as opposed to making the country more safe. But you know what they do is they use a false flag, right? And then they run around and they say, oh, we're under attack. In Hitler's case, it was the communists are coming. The communists are coming. And he ran around the country after the burning of the Reichstag building, which he blamed on the communists, although many people think now that he said it himself or the Nazis did. And he said, hey, we're under attack. We need to make our country safer. Let's start changing our laws to do that. So he changed 400 laws in 6 years that didn't protect them from the commies, but did allow him to come to power and eventually commit one of the worst atrocities this world has ever seen. My governor, Governor Newsom, changed 400 laws in the period of 6 months. The only darn difference right now between Newsom and Hitler is the fact that my guy is moving 12 times faster by the numbers. And that is what we are seeing in a lot of the blue states right now, Sam. It's frightening. We have depersonalization going on. We have, weaponizing our institutions against the common man, making mothers and fathers who are speaking out at school boards the enemy and saying the FBI and the DOJ are going to go against them so that they can chill free speech and the gathering of people, which are protected rights under our First Amendment. You've got people being beaten in the street this last week in San Luis Obispo because they tried to go to a concert without a vax passport. In Lithuania and Australia right now, it is the Warsaw Ghetto. You can't go outside if you're unvaccinated. You can't go to a store if you're unvaccinated. You can't take your kid to the dentist if you're unvaccinated. We have white-collar workers who for the last 4 weeks have been bartering for chicken eggs in the street because overnight those governments have basically turned their country into late 1930s, Warsaw Ghetto Nazi Germany.
Sounds extreme, ladies and gentlemen, that they're using the COVID as their push point to lock us all down. Then they're changing all these laws while we're focused on COVID, and then they back up and say, oh, but climate change is the key. Really, though, you can't even use small engines going forward in California because they'll ruin the environment, they say. You heard the story with Lowell about the truckers, too. When we come back, Lowell Nelson's got questions for Lee Dundas as well. WeCanAct.net conference coming up.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Sir Galahad, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's just not working.
She's been very unrealistic.
Really?
Ever since he rescued me from the dragon, we've been drifting apart.
That's not true.
We were supposed to live happily ever after.
Now, this isn't a fairy tale.
At first, he was gallant and chivalrous, opening doors for me, holding my chair, taking my arm.
All right, I'm not as young as I used to be.
He simply isn't the man who swept me off my feet.
Well, you're not as young as you used to be.
Mr. Sir Galahad, maybe if you started by just holding Mrs. Sir Galahad's hand when you're together.
Really?
Yes, try it.
Okay.
All right.
Go on, take your hand. Careful, little oil.
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Now, look into each other's eyes. That's right. Raise your visor.
Oh, the blue dear.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Lil Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, and Sam Bushman. We've got Lee Dundas with us. She's a human rights attorney. She's been working on, sex trafficking, child slavery, medical tyranny. I mentioned before the pause, I don't know which of these abuses are worse. Answer is all of them together, I guess, are the real deal. We've got to fight, stand up against, and first off acknowledge the severity thereof, and that our federal government has been involved in sex trafficking, rogue agents within our government for a long time. Lee Dundas has been tracking them down and holding folks to account to the best of her ability. We need more Americans to get involved and do the same. WeCanAct.net for the conference. Put in the keyword of Liberty, all caps, and get $50 off for every ticket you have. Lol.
Syndicate or crime industry that's growing. I mean, who's buying, right? I mean, who's buying this time with these young kids, these sex slaves? That's the big question, right?
Yeah, it's a huge question, and the irony is the people buying are every man and every woman. It's not just in Southeast Asia where I focus a lot. It's right here. They did a study out of Georgia a few years back where they were tracking online buyers of sex, and they gave them a three-tiered warning that said early in the transaction, hey, we think the girl you're buying might be underage. And then if they kept proceeding with the transaction, it was a sterner warning. Hey, you're buying an underage girl, it looks like. Are you sure you want to proceed? And the third warning was, hey, dude, you're buying a kid, and that's illegal in our country, in our state. You know, basically, heads up. And about half of the people online, half of the men buying, had no problem. They may have not sought out to buy a child, but once they were very clearly warned, they had no problem completing that transaction. And it turned out, when they did further analysis, it wasn't the scuzzy guy living on the bad side of the tracks with the trench coat that was, you know, going up and doing weird things outside of junior high schools. It was white collar workers, middle class, upper middle class and above, you know, 2.3 kids with a white picket fence on the good side of Atlanta, Georgia, who were buying. So these people buying kids, they could be your school's teacher, your next door neighbor, your colleague at work. You just don't know. But it's a huge problem, and it affects our politicians. And one of the problems with the fact that it affects our politicians is once you have a crime like that in your closet, you are eminently blackmailable. And you can be bought by the nearest bad government, bad guy, bad enemy, China. I mean, look at last year at the election and what was found on somebody's laptop, right? We need to eradicate this, not just for the sake of the kids who are being sold, but because we're not doing ourselves any favor when we've got politicians who can be sold to the nearest bad buyer because they've got a sex crime with a child in their dark closet.
Wow, and that brings us to the second question. What in the world can we do about it, right? Because politics is downstream from culture, and if we have a culture of people today where the white collar worker, so-called respectable, is is the one buying these services. I mean, where has our society gone? Like, we're in the toilet right now. I mean, what can be done to stem this problem? That's the big question.
Well, I mean, it always starts with the one, right? You know, I forget if it's Margaret Mead, but I think she said something, and I'm going to slaughter the quote, but never doubt that a small group of people can actually, you know, make a difference or effectuate change or whatever, because indeed they are the only ones who ever have. And the fact of the matter is this last year and a half has been rough on everybody, but what it's really pointed out is our government has slid way too far toward the communist agenda. We've got 52% of millennials who have been surveyed who say they think it would be cool or awesome to live under a communist regime. I beg to differ. You want to live under a communist regime? Come with me to Cambodia, where 50 years after their genocide, they still have little kids' bones and clothing washing up every time they get a torrential rain from where they were shot face down into ditches, because that's how commies roll. They make everybody equal, and then they starve everybody out, because there is always a ruling party, even once you think you've made everybody equal.
Yeah,
and then they shoot you face down.
Right, Lee?
Yeah, that's right. So we can make a difference, but we're doing it at the school board level. You see these moms and dads standing up for their kids all across the country, and they're voting with their feet if they're not getting a result. My local public school, where my daughter was in fifth grade 5 years ago, they are down from 3 fifth-grade classes and 1 fourth-fifth-grade combo to 1 fifth-grade class. And that was, Sam, before this fall, where they started trying to mandate the vax and put kids back to volleyball and masks and all kinds of other crazy. So we're
but
doing it
answer,
one person at a time.
To answer Lowell's question a little bit more about who's buying, well, you know, when the Loudoun County School Board meeting erupts after sex assault bombshell because the government school board covers up the sex abuse, and then when you have Burlington High School in Vermont literally having a drag queen show at halftime where it's not just the students, but students and faculty were all parading in costume and drag and everything else. That's the halftime show in Burlington High School. You can expect what you get, ladies and gentlemen. Look, the Communist Manifesto is the 10th plank. I'm sorry, the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto is compulsory education. Now listen to this latest story to highlight the point and how brazen, I'm sorry, that it's become in America. Ready? Woman raped on Philadelphia train. As bystanders watched and did nothing, stunned police say. A woman was raped on the Philadelphia train. I guess this man threatened her, tore off her clothes, and raped her. Sexually assaulted her. Now, there was a lot of people on the train. Instead of intervening, all they did was film it and post it on social media, Lee.
Wow. Well, I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked, my friend, because if your audience isn't familiar with the Kitty Genovese incident from late 1960s New York, young girl walking home after her shift at a bar, knifed umpteen times in the back on the street in New York, in front of all these multi-story, apartments. She's screaming bloody murder. The attacker gets scared off, comes back a half hour later to finish her off in the stairwell that she had pulled herself into around the corner, rapes her, takes her money, kills her, leaves her for dead. She bleeds out in the arms of her friend. Come to find out the next day or two, New York Times runs an article saying 38 people watched or heard it happen and couldn't be bothered to call the cops. You had one lady whose husband was picking up the phone to dial the cops saying, oh, honey, I'm sure it's not really what you heard. It's none of your business. Go back to bed. So we have a long history of being bystanders. And what the audience needs to understand, and what I'm going to be speaking about this Friday, is you need to know that we are hardwired to duck and run for cover to save our own selves. But that doesn't do us any favors when we are part of a group. You save the group first, or you don't have yourself to save. And Stanley Milgram, another prime example, this man did a study in the late 1960s at Yale where he got people to come in for a memory test, and he wired one of them up with electrodes and told the other guy, when your buddy here gets the answer wrong on the test, you need to give him a shock, and the shock went all the way up to 450 volts. It was on an increasing gradient for every wrong answer. And 2 out of 3 people, Sam, despite being good Christian, God-loving, never had a parking ticket Americans, when a guy, a doctor in a white labs coat, said, you have to continue shocking your neighbor even though you're not happy doing it, said, okay, and shocked their neighbor, over a wrong answer on a memory test to the point of what would have been death. Turned
well,
out
don't get it wrong for
shot.
Crying out loud.
See, what are these people
yeah.
thinking? I mean, what the
I know,
heck
right?
is going on? And the anyway, I hate to derail, but that answers your question, Lowell.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, we need to be better individually. Every single person, every single one of us need to be better. We need to stand up for truth and righteousness in every venue. I mean, all the time, everywhere, if we expect the society to be better. Because it will only be raised by individuals acting individually. Don't expect the collective to raise itself. Gangs are how societies go down. Individuals are how society goes up. Sam?
Lee, it's hard to even comprehend that this is happening. I believe society is so fearful now of everything, whether it's, you know, yeah. the COVID, whether it's climate change, whether it's what's happening in the streets that I got to duck and run from. How do we get Americans to gain some mojo to say, wait a minute, not on my watch, because you know what? The next generation, our children are at stake here. You can duck and cover for your own today, but tomorrow it'll be much worse for your children if you do.
Yeah. You learn about the sins of our history so we don't repeat them. And the reason I think we're facing a second Holocaust is because we didn't fully learn the lesson the first time. FDR and Churchill came to the rescue of Europe and the world, but they did so after their own, you know, behinds were in the sling, after Pearl Harbor was bombed and the like. But at the end of the day, what needed to happen, in my humble opinion, in Nazi Germany, is the people who were being brainwashed needed to know they were being brainwashed. You know, Hitler took radio, and his minister of war was later heard to say, through the technical means of things like radio and loudspeaker, which they put into every house, every factory, every town square, 80 million people were deprived of independent thought. He didn't want to get the news out to the Germans. He wanted to brainwash them over and over, which is what we're seeing with mainstream media, until such time they would sing louder when the cattle cars of the screaming Jews were going back by en route to Auschwitz. And that's what we're seeing right now. And the way to stop it is to educate yourself, know what's happening, and know that this time nobody's coming to our rescue. We are coming to our own rescue. We are going to stand up for our kids. We are going to take our school boards back. We are going to one by one take our county boards of supervisors back, our local, our state governments, and our national governments back. And we are going to do it, because make no mistake, my friend, every damn time that tyranny has threatened to do the world in, good people have finally gotten off their couch into the fray and said, not on our watch. We are not going to let evil reign supreme. Good people are going to take this country, this nation, this world back, and we have. But it's a heck of a lot easier fight when you get in the game earlier rather than later, and that is why I want to see everybody who's got a pulse and a brain and a heart, to reference the Wizard of Oz here a little bit, at the We Can Act conference this Friday and Saturday, Salt Lake City, wecanact.net. You got to know what's going on so you can fight it and leave this country a better place for our kids.
Final question, Lowell?
No way. Just thank you so very much, Lee. I'm so excited to welcome you to Salt Lake City this coming weekend to be part of this WeCanAct.net, this Liberty Conference. It's going to be awesome, and you are a part of it. So thank you so very much for coming
right.
to be a part of it.
I know before the end of the hour, Lee is part of Frontline Doctors. Look, I believe COVID can be very serious for people. Let's not play games. The problem is there are solutions that are flat out being not only ignored but ridiculed and mocked, while Congress literally knows better. Over 100, almost 200 members of Congress, their families and their staffs have taken ivermectin. They've flat out deceived
yep.
the people. It's criminally.
It's criminal. There's going to be crimes against humanity, just like there were with the Nuremberg trials at the end of World War II. But in the meantime, as I've been saying, knowledge is power, my friend. You need to know that you don't have to go to a hospital, that once you've gone to a hospital, you can get your family or yourself back out of there if they're trying to kill you. Sign up to follow me at leedundas.com and go to America's Frontline Doctors to get the help you need to keep your family safe.
There you have it, Lee. Thank you so much. We'll look forward to seeing you at the conference.
Absolutely, I'll be there.
There she goes, doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen. WeCanAct.net, the conference this weekend. I'll be there live as well. WeCanAct.net, put in the capital letters, keyword Liberty, and get $50 off per ticket. We want you there in person, folks. Be there, will you please? Lowell, thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome, Sam.
Lowell Nelson doing a phenomenal job as always as well. Thank all of you for being here. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Two more incredible guests on your radio. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.